Romans 7, 9 down through 25. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, or no. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I want us to bow our heads again in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the blessings of life. There are so many things that we take for granted every day, and yet, Lord, we forget that you're the one that not only gives us life, but you're the one that sustains it. We're thankful most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. And we know that in him that we do have eternal and everlasting life. And we're thankful that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, Father, tonight we come together here as a church, and our hearts and our minds are to be stayed upon thee. And we are praying that you'd be pleased to bless us even by sending revival in this church. We know that we have a need of a revival. Lord, there's so many things that are in our church that are slack. And we know, Lord, that revival comes from thee. We know that there are those that stand in need of you working in their hearts and lives. I'm talking about the saved. Bringing us in tune with thee and thy word, and the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us and help us, Lord, that we might be faithful to you in these last days. We have a lot of people that are sin sick. There are those that are not even saved by the grace of God. And Lord, I pray that it might please you during this service, or during the services of this week, to save some lost sin. We know there are those that we have spoken to and know of. Perhaps there's those that we've not even, don't even come to our mind this time. But yet, Lord, perhaps they even profess to be saved. And yet, Lord, maybe they have their name on the roll of this church, and yet, Lord, have never had an experience of grace. And so, Father, we pray to you on their behalf. Now, Lord, we pray for Brother Pack as he comes, that you would bless him as he travels, and then bless him as he comes here and as he proclaims the Word of God each night. And we pray that there would not be anything in our services that would hinder him. We pray that we would keep our tongues, and that we would rely and depend upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit to guide him and direct him about what our needs are. Now, Father, we pray that you would just be with us as a church. We have a lot of people that are sick and not able to come. We have those that we know in our hearts would be here if they were not sick. And then the other, Lord, there's others that could be here and are not. We pray for them also, Lord, that you might work in their hearts and lives. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless all of our children, bless our young people. We're thankful for them. And these are hard and trying times. These are times that society has gone away from you, and many of our children have picked up these trends and have these patterns in their lives. And we know the only hope for them is the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that you have for them in and through this New Testament church. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless and lead, guide, and direct, and forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name I ask it all. Amen. Preach this morning from Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. Three things that I brought out was salvation is wrought by God for his people, and that's for his people, and sanctification is wrought by God in his people, and glorification is wrought by God upon his people. Now, I don't think there's any misunderstanding, perhaps in the main in our church, about the doctrine of sanctification. Now, it is a very important aspect of our salvation that God has for us. It comes down to the aspect of our souls are saved, but then there is the saving of our lives. And that's where the sanctification aspect comes in. But there is a misconception among some as to what sanctification is and what it is not. And so, you can go from the positive position of what sanctification is, and then you can go from the negative of what sanctification is not. Now, I said in the main, I don't believe that we have any problem, a big problem here in our church when it comes to the doctrine of sanctification. Understanding that it is a part of our salvation that God has provided for us, and that he works in us. And of course, as God works in us through the means that he has designed, and of course we know that, first of all, the Holy Spirit that indwells us, but then the Word of Truth that is our guide, or the guidelines that we go by, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and then applies those principles, gives us a understanding of them, and then helps us that we might apply them to our daily life. In our everyday life. But there's a lot of people that are confused about the doctrine of sanctification. And some have taken it and made it to say what the Word of God does not make it to say, and to mean what the Word of God does not mean about when we talk about the doctrine of sanctification. These verses of Scripture in Romans 7, to a lot of people are very confusing. And they are hard to be understood, because this passage of Scripture is about a man that's saved, that had an experience of grace on the road to Damascus. And then he comes up and he says something like, "That in me dwelleth no good thing." And people don't understand that. And of course, he clarifies it here in brackets and says, "That is in my flesh." And he goes on and makes some other statements here and said, to will is present with me, But seems like I'm always doing that which I ought not to do. And many times that which is sinful. Well, that's why that there's a need of the doctrine of sanctification. Is because our souls are saved, and it is the spiritual man that, or the inward man that delighteth after the law of God, but there is that part of us that is yet future to be saved. I talked about this morning, and that is glorification is a work wrought by God upon us, and that's going to be future. But there is that present that's going on that is a work of God also, which is sanctification. I'm just like everybody else. I'm a human being. I have problems. I have faults. I have sins. And I'm the first one to admit that. I have strong points and I have weaknesses. And I know that. And I believe that's something that a child of God has to come to grips with. And you have to understand that. I am not a perfect person. I would to God that I, by the grace of God, that I could be. And I do know that God is working in me, even at this present time. And I don't believe that gives us any license to sin. And I know that. But a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand what Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. And when he makes the statement several times, a sin that dwelleth in me. Now we're talking about a man that's saved by the grace of God. And yet there's sin that dwelleth in him. Well, that's why that there's that old constant warfare that goes on. Now, I tonight want to just for a few minutes take some thoughts about what sanctification is not. Now sanctification is, if you're saved by the grace of God, sanctification is the aspect of your salvation that God is working in you at this present time. And even during this service, he's working it in. As the Word of God is preached and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies that to your life. Now, we find that, first of all, and I believe that Paul makes it clear in this passage of Scripture, if there's anywhere in the Word of God that this is clear, it is, number one, sanctification is not the improvement of the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can beat it black and blue, and it'll bounce right back at you every time. I believe that we ought to, as Paul said, to beat it black and blue. I don't mean like they do in Iran or Iraq. I don't think you ought to go around and take a chain and just whip yourself all the time, you know. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about with the Word of God and with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You'll have this old flesh. If you die, you'll have it when you die. And you'll never be rid of it. But I'm so thankful that by the grace of God and by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God that it can be brought into subjection. And it can be brought to the place of where that there are some things that drop off and no longer seemingly have any attachment to us, and they don't plague us any longer. I'm so thankful for them. But yet there's a million other things. This old flesh that we have to contend with every day. Now sometimes people say, I would think, now you ought not to tell us that. Well, I certainly should. Because that's why a lot of people that have been saved by the grace of God, and then when they get in trouble with the sins of the flesh, think that they've lost it. And they ain't lost their salvation at all. What's happened to them is that they have yielded to the old flesh, to the sin of the flesh, and they have broken that fellowship that's between them and God. They've not broken that relationship. But they've broken that. That's why it's hard for an unsaved man to look at me and not have some doubt that whether I'm saved or not. Because I know I'm saved. I've had an experience of grace, and that's settled. That was settled in eternity, but it's also been settled in time in my heart. And it's been settled by the Word of God. But what, and I know this happens, people that are unsaved, say, look there, look there, look there, look there, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. Now look at that, look at that. You mean they're saved? Yes, but what we can't, what they can't understand is there's not the eradication of the old flesh. Now I'm not giving permission to sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just teaching the truth.
Amen.
And Brother Paul taught it here in the 7th chapter. I'm ashamed when I do that which is contrary to the Word of God, when I do that which is contrary to the law of God, and I'm not making an excuse for myself, oh well, I'm just in the flesh. I don't go around doing that. I am appalled when I am overtaken in sin, or when I fall in sin, and God convicts me of it. The Holy Spirit convicts me of it. And the Holy Spirit immediately tells me it's wrong. And brother, it's upon me. The weight of it is upon me. And so I believe that this is a misconception, what sanctification is not. It is not an improvement of the flesh. Here is the reason many young converts are confused and led astray. Many young converts. Oh, if immediately when a person is saved by the grace of God, if they could be taught that they don't get rid of their old flesh. The old flesh stays there. And it'll be there till you die. And it'll be a constant battle. It's a constant warfare. You know, sometimes people think, and I remember back. My dad, when the Lord saved him, he was... He wasn't too old. He wasn't over 45 or 50. He wasn't too old, you know. And when the Lord saved him, he immediately had this idea that now everything is never going to have more problems, no more trouble. But the thing of it is, that's just when they really begin. You know, because you don't have a warfare till then. Till God saves you, you know, you just glide along. You know, you go with the course of the world. But then when God saves you by His grace, then's when the battle starts. Then the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaches you there's some things that you ought to do. And then He teaches you there's some things you ought not to do. And the old flesh is there not wanting to go either way. And the old flesh is not wanting to do them. And then the old flesh is always seemingly contrary to what the will of God and what the Word of God is for our life. And so I think my dad learned quick, as most people do. And sometimes you learn it by experience. You know, Lord saved you by His grace. And then the flesh the flesh gets in the way, and you sin, and you know, and you can't get lost again. I mean, you seemingly try, but you can't get lost again. There's no way you can. And it don't help you at all. All it does is make you miserable. Because it's your sin. Now, many young converts, and I, like I said, I tried to recall when the Lord first saved me, if I can remember back and think of any time that I ever heard a message along these lines. I didn't. I don't recall, and I had a good pastor, but I don't recall him ever preaching along these lines and telling me, now you're going to have a lot of problems, and there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be faced with in your life that you've never been faced with before. I don't remember that. The average so-called preacher in Christendom today says, boy, when you get saved, it's all over. No more financial problems. No kind of problems whatsoever. You know, there's evangelists that do that. They go on TV. They say, oh, this is the answer to everything. It is as far as your eternal salvation. But brother, it's just then when the war begins here in this life, and it'll be that way until the Lord comes. Now, many believe it's an improvement of the flesh. But there never is no improvement of the flesh. Now there's the bringing under subjection. There is the grace of God that enables us to be taught. We don't even know that the old man There's some things that we do wrong, and we don't even know that they're wrong until the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and reveals it to us and teaches us. And that's why it's so hard many times. You know, when you're trying to teach people things about godly living and different things like that, and they put up such a fight, it's the old flesh that is really putting up that flesh. Instead, they find, and here's what it is, they find that they still possess the same old man, that is, in the flesh. And it's a shock to them. Hey, I thought I was saved from all this. Well, you're saved from the penalty of sin. That's what you're saved from, the penalty of sin. And I believe through this progressive sanctification, there is the being saved of the power of sin, no longer dominion. And one day you'll be saved from the presence of sin. But you're going to have some old passions. The reason for it, you still got the same old flesh. And you still got the same old man. You're going to still have some old appetites. Let me tell you something. Now, God blesses us in many ways, and God enables us by His grace to overcome some old appetites. But don't ever get to thinking that the old flesh ain't still got them. Now, don't ever get thinking of that. Now, I've heard people, you know, say, well, this out in me, and that's taken away. Yeah, but you, now I know better than that. The reason I know better than that, you still the same old, got the same old flesh, haven't you? You're not in your glorified body yet, are you? That's when they all be gone, is when you're in your glorified body. And then, of course, and I'm not downing the power of God, but I'm just talking about what the Word of God, look what Paul said here. Just read it. Chapter 7, verse 9 through 25. And then the old affections. I believe, and what happens is, many times an illustration can be a young convert, a person that's just been saved by the grace of God. And it's a wonderful time, a wonderful experience. And seemingly, they have a zeal and a fire that they won't never have any other time when the Lord first saves them by His grace. Now, and of course, a lot of that zeal and fire is not according to knowledge. It's just a zeal and fire, like a lot of people that don't know anything. They have a lot of zeal and fire, and it's directed everywhere and nowhere upon purpose. It's just wild, you know, without it. But then time passes, some time goes by, and then they get down to reality. When you've been saved by the grace of God and some time goes by, you get down to, you got to live, you're living with the Lord one day at a time. And there's new experiences and things that you face, and you face some of the old things that you used to face, and the same old problems you used to face. And then what can happen many times, if you don't lay hold of the grace of God and the Word of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if you don't lay hold of it, then what happens to you? You become a lukewarm and a cold church. And that's exactly what happens. Now, when we are not what we ought to be as a church, God ain't to blame. The flesh is to blame. And our yielding to the flesh and our following many times the flesh rather than the will of God and the Word of God. Amen. Now, what has happened? Somewhere back in the mind of an individual, they thought that the fleshly nature would improve. But it did not. And it does not. That's why that all of us ought to be thankful for the grace of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that works in us. Now that's the difference. That makes the difference. That is the only difference that there is in a saved person and an unsaved person, is the grace of God working in them and being able to, by the Holy Spirit, to take the Word of God. Now there's the difference. Fleshly, there's no difference. If you're not saved and I'm saved, my flesh, there's no difference in my flesh and your flesh. Not a bit. The fleshly appetites you have are the fleshly appetites I have. And we're kidding ourselves and fooling ourselves if we say we don't. Amen. Some people say, that don't bother me. Oh, don't lie. Now think about it. Don't lie. And if you are able to not let it bother you, praise God for the grace of God and the Word of God that has enabled you not for it not to bother you. We need to recognize this. Now, it did not. I believe when we're saved, there's still the old man. And the old man is there, and the old man is to be contended with. And so we find that some people, when they come to realize this, they seemingly want to give up. And they want to turn over to the old man and just yield to him. And that's why there's a vast number of church members today that just drift along. They just drift. They're never really in hornets. They're never on the firing line. And they're never really zealous in the work of the Lord. It's because because of that old flesh and that old man. Seems like keeps them dragged down. Now how different the appearance of a person would be, a new convert, if they could be taught what the Bible teaches about sanctification. About what sanctification is. That by one offering, that we stood in Christ, holy and without guilt. That God the Holy Spirit came into our hearts to lead us to victory over our spiritual enemies, which is the world and the flesh and the devil. And there's going to always be that contention and that problem that is in our life. Now, and how that we could learn that the Word of God, how that we ought to take it and study it, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit being sanctified by the Word, and that it's a progressive growth. It doesn't come all at one time. And here's my problem, here's your problem. We just go so far, seem like sometimes, and we quit. And I believe this. I believe, and this works, I believe, as an individual church too. I believe that when we come to a truth by the Lord, and then we start practicing it in our lives, then the Lord moves us up to another. He ain't going to move you along too far if you don't grasp or lay hold on a truth and to put it into practice in your life. Oh, you can say, I believe a thing. Brother, when you really believe, it's when the Lord puts you to a test and you start practicing. I tell you, I'm probably, I told the men downstairs tonight, I'm probably experiencing the biggest test in my life at this present time. You know, as far as physically, I've always been able to plow a mule or kick a rabbit or anything like that, and I've lived for years in the fax line. I really have. And I'm not saying this to toot my horn. I'm just stating some facts to you. I mean, I've gone for day and night for years, and it's the hardest thing in the world for me to slow down. But I've got to. I mean, I've got to. I mean, that's the bottom line. It ain't no I might. I've got to. And so there's a, I believe that's because this old flesh, this old body, is what that I'm talking about. And so I believe that and this is the same way it is, and it, the principle is the same with sanctification and with the progressive growth. It doesn't come all at one time. And so, and I believe there's a strengthening of the soul and the holiness. Now, look what the Apostle Peter said. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and therein verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1 and verse 2. Now, here's how it comes about. I thought about Marion as the youngest convert of our church. And she's right in the position now that this is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. Now look, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speakings. Now, we admonish to do that, and the Word of God tells us to do that, and the Holy Spirit instructs us to do that. Now how? As newborn babes, that is, as a person that's just been saved by the grace of God,
as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now I believe as we do that, then we grow. We grow in grace and we grow in knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we learn some things that God has intended for us to learn in the Word of God, of how that we're to live and how that we're to serve Him and how that we're to put Him first. There's some things that we learn. But you know, while we're doing that, there'll be the flesh all the time. And if there's anything that the flesh is not interested in, we're in this studies awareness of the flesh. And there's many things that the old man had rather be doing than desiring the sincere milk of the word. But yet there's that spiritual man or that inward man that has that desire, that craving to know the word of God that might be able to live for him. Now I believe that the new convert must understand that there's two natures. We call them the old man and the new man. Now the Holy Spirit enables the person to bring the old man into subjection and also the new man to be victorious many times in life. But that's in and through Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and there in verse 19 down through verse 27 of that chapter. Now look at it. He said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Now, Paul's not talking about anything unlawful or anything that's wrong. "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Now he's not talking about compromise either. Don't you understand?
Amen.
"And that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under law, as under law, that I might gain them that are under law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, that is, but under law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now, this is the same Paul that said, and you got to keep this in mind, that if eating meat offends my brother, I won't eat more meat. Now the old flesh will tell you, "I'll eat meat when I want to in front of who I want to, and I don't care what so-and-so thinks about it." Yeah, but that ain't Christian. That's the old man talking. That's not the new man.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the old man flesh. The old man continually. Now look, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." He's talking about that you'd have an influence, that you'd have a godly influence, that you would be a person that would be a good witness and a good testimony. He said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we need corruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body." Now notice what he's talking about. "And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now what's he talking about? Paul is talking about the life after we're saved. He's not talking about the failure of salvation. But he's talking about the life after we are saved. And what we ought to remember is that after we are saved, and by the grace of God, and by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit of God, we can bring these bodies under subjection. And that's the only way. I'm saying that we're going to always have problems with them. And even when we're bringing them under subjection, there'll be a problem. But I believe that this will show up in either failure reward or reward. Now, back up to the third chapter, there in of Corinthians, and look with me in verse 11 down through verse 15. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I like what he says. It goes on here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And so I believe that sanctification is not an improvement of the flesh, but it is bringing the old flesh under subjection. It is subduing the old flesh. It is conquering by the grace of God and the Word of God, conquering some things in the old flesh and being able to overcome them. Brother, they're there constantly. So the old man never gets any better. Now that confuses a lot of people. They, for somehow or other, everybody has the idea that when they're saved, they'll get rid of that old flesh. But I tell you, if the Lord is pleased to save you tonight, there'll be possibly something before you even get home will make you mad. You'll get mad. You'll get mad at something or somebody before you get home. That is the old flesh. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved. That just means that by the grace of God has to be brought under subjection. That is, the old, being able to control temper. Said, lose your temper. I never had seen anybody lose their temper. I mean, they had it yesterday, they had it today, and they had it tomorrow. They didn't lose it. I mean, they just couldn't control it, or didn't control it. And so we see that this takes place. Now, to understand these scriptures will keep us, I believe, well armed against the old man. There's some scriptures in the Word of God. Now, while we're here in 1 Corinthians, let's look now at, there in the second chapter, back in verse 14. And here's the advantage of a person that's saved and a person that's not saved. Even though the old man's still there, and there's not the eradication of the old nature, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But the saved person is able to discern what's right and wrong. Amen. And the reason they're able to discern it by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which teaches them, and they're able to discern. And they have the tremendous advantage over the person that is not saved by the grace of God. Now listen to this verse of Scripture that Paul gave us, and he said here in this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And I believe that we, brethren, need to recognize. So that is, first of all, sanctification is not an improvement of the old man of the flesh. Secondly, it is not the second blessing. Now there are people who teach that. I heard that through the years. Back when the Lord first saved me, there was people who said, well, I've had a second work of grace. And I thought, well, Lordy mercy, what are they talking about? And here's what they would say. They'd say the first work of grace is like regeneration or saving my soul. And the second work of grace is perfection. Now I've come to a place or a plateau I don't sin any longer. And that's what they referred to as the second work of grace. But I believe that we need to understand. And I've got, here's the clincher on that. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures, but I mean, to me, here is the clincher. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Now here it is. I mean, this is just plain as the nose on your face. Now, I've written in my Bible, or I think somebody's written here for me, written to save people in 1 John chapter 1. But it talks about my little children. And little children's reference to it. And here's why that there is not that the, what some refer to as a second blessing. I don't believe in such a thing. that there is a complete eradication of the old man, and now there is no longer any sin committed by that person. And here's what John said. If we say the we is saved, if we say we have no sin, and you can't say that you have no sin, because Paul just got through saying in Romans 7, you do. Or saying he did. Because he said, oh wretched man that I am. The thing that people somehow or other by nature don't want to hear is that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that. But look, if we say that we have no sin, what happens? Why, we deceive ourselves. And what's the result? And the truth is not in us. Well, if the truth is not in you, you're in trouble. And if you're deceived, you are in trouble. So sanctification is not a second blessing. It's not the eradication of the old man. In other words, that old depravity of the human heart is not removed in this present life. I'm just as depraved as I ever was. That is this old man. That's total depravity. But what has happened to me as a totally depraved person is I've been saved by the grace of God. And there is the new man that is in me. And it's that new man that loves the Lord. It's that new man that loves the Word of God. It is that new man that follows the Word of God and then brings this old man into subjection and by the grace of God subdues this old man. But always there. I would never do this, but anybody that would claim this, I could prove to them in a minute that they were not perfect.
Amen.
It'd only take one slap. And I'd be wrong in doing it. I'd have to get the old man to do that. And how many times do we do that? We get the old man. Now, many differ in this as to whether that it is instantaneous or progressive, and that many say that this second blessing is necessary prior to death. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you're not saved. If you've not come to a place to where that you are perfect, and there was never but one man perfect, and that was the man Christ Jesus, and everybody else in sin, and my mother conceived me and came out forth from my mother's womb speaking lies, and we go to the grave in these same old flesh and these same old bodies, even though that we've been saved by the grace of God. So they teach that the old man is entirely removed. They say they do not sin. They say that they live above it. But their lives do not prove it. I found, as a general rule, and this is not always true in the case, there's some good, what we refer to as good moral people, that are not even saved, that live some good lives in the eyes of men. But these that claim that they have had a second work of grace and live above sin, you'll notice their sins become false. But they do have faults. And they make blunders and they make mistakes and they sin. And the mistakes that they make are sin. The scriptures do not teach a second blessing. That is, the removal of carnality or the removal of the old man. And many tell of many wonderful experiences about how they have got to the place to where they live above sin. And a lot of them right then are living with somebody else. You know, that's the thing that gets me. We took a tour one time in 1970. We ran into a bunch of people like this. My, the way they acted. And the way they lived in those hotels. That was the most sickening thing to me that I've ever seen. And yet they talked about that they were sanctified in the place before they were perfect. Oh me. But I'll take the word of God. Now the devil deceives and the devil counterfeits, And many say, I do not say I cannot sin, but that I do not sin.
But the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Whom then shall I believe? Them or God? I'm going to believe God's word. But now, these are just two things, simple things, that sanctification is not. But there is the positive of this sanctification. And if you're saved by the grace of God, God has wrought that salvation for you, and He's brought it to you, and you've received it by the power of God. And then that holy principle that we think of as sanctification, a work of God, is begun in you at the moment of regeneration. And that's when that principle begins to work in you. And it'll be working till you die. And then what will happen is the consummation or the completion of that is God will translate us, or when He resurrects us, He'll translate us, He'll change us, and then we'll be glorified, and no longer we'll be rid of this old depravity, and then we'll be saved even from the presence of sin. And what a glorious thought it is. So if you're not saved tonight, your primary need is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Trying to turn over a new leaf or do better will never help you. It might help some ways morally, or what you would think of in a human view, but it'll never be that, because it's not lasting. Reformation is never lasting. Of one's own power and strength, it's never lasting. But the reason it's not is because it's the flesh. But then salvation is lasting. It's eternal. It's complete, as I said this morning, because we are His workmanship.